Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
We're going to have a special guest today. He's Pastor Brian, and he's going to come and share a lesson with us today. And I know it will be wonderful. And hold on just a minute before we get there. Oh, yeah. You know, they applauded for me earlier, so we got to applaud for Pastor Brian.
Well, good morning, Vision Church. It is so good to be with you guys this morning. It still feels odd speaking to just a camera, but I know that you guys are there, and it's really a pleasure for me to be able to speak to you this morning. I know that there's probably a lot more people than just our folk listening this morning, so I hope that what I can say can help everyone. When I was asked what to speak on, my mind began to go on all kinds of subject matters and such as that, and I kept coming back to blind spots, because we all have blind spots, and so when I got to doing some research on blind spots, the first thing that pops up about blind spots is that, and I didn't know this, but in our eyes, everyone has a spot on the back of the eye that doesn't receive light. So there's a blind spot in our eyes. But what the brain does is it takes all that other information and it just filters around it, so you never even are aware that you have a blind spot in your eye. But many of us have blind spots. And when another definition that I had of blind spots are those areas with an obstructive view. If you've been behind the 18-wheeler and you see the sign that it's a picture of the truck with these areas, and it's telling you that you're in the blind spot of that driver. He can't see you no matter what you do. So that would be a blind spot. But as people, we also have blind spots that are emotional areas that we are unaware of, or sometimes we've chosen to ignore. Perspectives become skewed, and we can't see ourselves as clearly as others do. Isn't it kind of odd that we can always point out other people's problems, but when it comes to looking at ourselves, sometimes we don't see it, and it's as plain as the nose on our face. So we're blinded sometimes to those things that are in our lives that others are like, that's you. But to us, we don't even see it at all. I was reading a leadership book that we're required to at work, and it talked about griping or whining, complaining. And it talked about how that the firefighters are always saying that the lieutenants, they don't know what they're doing. The lieutenants are always saying that battalion chief, he's crazy, he don't know what he's doing. And it keeps going up and up and up until finally everybody is blaming or saying that the person ahead of them is worthless. They can't do their job. They're stupid. They're idiots. I hear that quite often. And then it's the same way, filters down, that the chiefs would say, man, if those firefighters would just do what I ask them to do, so on and so forth. But we're always pointing our finger at someone else and not necessarily at ourselves. And that's what leads me into the blind spots. We have blind spots in our lives that blind us to how we really are. And today I just want to talk about three of them. I know you could probably find lots of blind spots in your life. But today I just want to talk about three. The first blind spot I want to talk about is denial. Denial is something that any and everyone is susceptible to. Actually, denial involves turning a blind eye to ourselves. Stuff like, I'm above failure. I deny that I could even fail. I don't have any faults. Everyone else is wrong but me. And we seem to justify that. When I was thinking about this, and you're not going to find this on the internet because I looked, I'm going to put this denial in two categories, active and inactive. You can also say it's conscious or unconscious. In the active, denial involves turning a blind eye to those things that we know are wrong, but we're unwilling to give them up. Are there things in your life that they just bring you such pleasure that you don't want to give them up, even though you know they're probably not the right thing to do? We'll justify that all day long and say, well, it's okay for me. And we've all heard the story of people that are caught in moral failures. I'm just going to use that one as an example. They're caught in moral failures, and they justify it, well, you know, I'm a servant of God, and God really wants me to be happy. so he would do this for me. Or, you know, if that wife of mine, if she would just do this, then I wouldn't be falling into this. We always seem to be blaming those things on other people. So we consciously or actively deny things that we know are wrong in our lives. And we make excuses as to why we shouldn't have to give them up, and that we have the privilege to do that, but others don't. The other form I like to call inactive denial or unconscious denial is when we don't seem to see the problem in ourselves, but when we see it in others, it's as plain as day. And maybe even we criticize them because, they do that all the time. When I was thinking about examples of this, I don't know why this came, the first thing that came to my mind was people that like to talk a lot. Man, you know, that guy, he can talk the horns off of brass billy goat. And then you just proceed to go on and on and on and on and on and on. And you don't realize that you're doing the same thing that they're doing. Or the critical aspect of it, he's always so negative. Why does he always have to talk so negative? You know, they're always negative. You know, if that pastor would preach shorter, we'd be better. Or if they did this, or they did that. I'm sorry, I wasn't picking on the pastor. But you proceed to be critical about everything else that you see in other people. That's an inactive or an unconscious denial of what's inside you. We develop habits and hang-ups that we're not even aware of or even want to release. We hurt ourselves and those around us, allowing these things to fester and grow in our lives. And rather than looking for a way to remove these blind spots, we deny that we even have a problem. Sometimes people can tell us, hey man, you know, you're always negative all the time, or you're always doing this. We're actually caught in something and we want to deny. No, that's not me. Another form of denial is, that could never happen to me. And I think one of the scariest things a Christian can do, especially a Christian man, because that's what I am, is to say, that will never happen to me. And I believe you're just telling the enemy, yeah, I dare you to do that to me, because I am better than that. I deny the fact that I can fall into that temptation, or I can fall into that problem. And when we do, we're denying that that's even a problem in our lives, and we shouldn't even go there. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 says, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple, what they must deny themselves and take up my cross, or their cross daily and follow me." We have to deny ourselves. There are times that it's okay to do things for ourselves, but there are times when we need to deny those things in our lives that are not constructive, that are not productive in our lives, that are not part of the fruits of the Spirit. We need to deny those. The second blind spot, and I think this one's probably more important than any of them, is the blind spot of selfishness. You always want to be the captain of the conversation. You always want to do things your way, because your way is the right way. And you know more than anyone, because you know more than anyone. You're always so self-absorbed with yourself. Webster's Dictionary defines selfishness as being concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself, seeking or concentrating on one's own advantages, one's own pleasures, or one's own well-being without regard for others. We put ourselves first, and that's all we want to talk about, is we, me, this, that. It's just me. It's not others. Society actually encourages to have it your way. I think at McDonald's it says, have it your way. Society is like, don't deny yourself these pleasures. Be happy. Take what you can in and get all you can for yourself. I believe that selfishness can be a serious barrier between people and God. When we're serving ourselves, that's who we put up as an idol before God. We serve ourselves and we put ourselves first. And when we know, hey, you know, I really should go read my Bible, or I really should go pray, but you know what, I think I'd rather go do this. well, I'll have time to read my Bible later, so I'm going to go do this. So I put my own selfish desires before what I believe and what I know should be the right thing to do, to spend time with God, spend time in His Word. But I selfishly want to do what I want to do. A selfish person can unwillingly be blinded by the enemy. And I think this is where I believe it's hard. Because if we don't believe that we need God, then we won't come to God. And this is where the devil can trick us into, hey, you know what? You deserve this. This is all about you. Let's don't look at everything else. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about Eve when she saw the fruit. It was pleasing to her eyes. And I believe at that moment she was selfish in that, well, yeah, I want to be smart. Yeah, I want to live forever. No, what he said doesn't really matter. So she took it and gave it to her husband as well. He was right there. He probably denied the fact, yeah, she's probably not right. So he denied it and took a bite too. And we know the end result of that, that sin entered our world because of it. But selfishness puts us above everything else. But more importantly, selfishness puts us above God. And that's not right. Anything that comes between us and God, anything that we elevate above God, is wrong. And when we put ourselves above God, then we are being selfish. And that's not what we want to do. And in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. You can even say a value God above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. God wants us to put Him first, then others, and then finally, if we have time, we have time for ourselves. But it's important that we not allow our selfish desires, our selfish ambitions, the me first movement, to become before God. Because when we do, we get in very dangerous ground, because now we're serving ourselves rather than serving God. And selfishness, even on an individual level, can hurt a marriage. I just thought this, that if I'm selfish, it doesn't really matter what my wife wants to do. I'm not putting my wife first. I'm putting me first, and she should be subservient to me. She should do what I want to do, or he should be doing what I want to do. On the other hand, when we put the other person first, we look at ourselves as servers more than being served. And it's important that we want to serve others. It's important that we want to serve God and put Him first and make sure that He is served before we serve ourselves, making sure that others are served before we serve ourselves. And finally, the last blind spot that I have is bitterness. Bitterness holds grudges. Bitterness will spread rumors. Bitterness finds it hard to congratulate others. Bitterness usually comes from being intentionally or unintentionally hurt by someone or something. This hurt can even be imagined. When Cindy and I first moved back to Texas from Alabama, we went to a teen challenge gathering song thing. And most of the people that of our age were sitting at a table, and there were a couple of chairs open. So we sat at another table. And then other people, as they would come, they would go sit with other people. And so Cindy and I were kind of left there. And as things went on, now the kids didn't have any other place to sit, so they sat with us. So we talked about it on the way home. And if we had allowed that to hurt us, we wouldn't be here today at this church, because we felt like those people don't accept us. They don't like us. So bitterness could have easily crept into us and said that they don't love us. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be part of them. We had to put some thought into that and think, well, you know, I don't think anyone intentionally did that, and we did not allow that bitterness to fester. And bitterness is like a plant. Once the seed is in the heart, it has to be dug out. It's a weed. It has to be gotten out of your life, because if you allow that bitterness to fester, then the next time something remotely goes wrong, then that bitterness is being watered, that bitterness is being cultivated, and before too long, you just don't want to have anything to do with anyone. Bitterness causes us to find fault and criticize, but most importantly, this criticism and this fault is with anger. We do a lot of stuff. When you're bitter at someone, you usually lash out in anger. Usually if you have bitterness, you're not going to be a loving person towards the individual that you feel has hurt you or harmed you. So that lashing out, that's how bitterness is. It can be seen. That would be a symptom or sign of bitterness. But bitterness cannot be allowed to grow in your life. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, period. You can stop right there and go on. But it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slandering, along with every form of malice. It's interesting to me that bitterness is right in there with anger, brawling, slander, because I believe bitterness, if you're really bitter, you're going to be mad. If you're really bitter, you're going to slander other people. And you'll have malice in your life because of bitterness. 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God has forgiven you. So we have to get that out of our lives. We have to be compassionate with others, and we have to forgive. I know there's probably many other types of blind spots out there, and I would just say, we ask the Lord, hey Lord, you know, show me where I'm deficient, where I have blind spots, where am I susceptible to the enemy to come in? And blind spots are those areas where the enemy can just kind of work his way in there and dig into your life. And the next thing you know, bunk, it's going up. You deny everything because it can't happen to me, or no, it's good for me. Or we have selfish ambition. We're selfish. We only want to serve ourselves. The enemy has sown that seed in there. And then the enemy sows that bitterness in there. So Lord, show us where we're not bitter. And in our opening scripture in Psalms 146:8, the Lord gives sight to the blind. He gives sight to the blind when people seek Him, ask Him, show me, Lord, where I'm wrong. It says, the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. So let's just pray for a second. Lord, we ask you that if there's anything in our lives, Father, that we are unaware of, or if there are any blind spots in our lives, Father, we pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would illuminate those in my heart, in my mind, Lord, that I can be aware of it, that I can deal with it, Father, and not allow any of these spots, Father, to grow and fester in my life, that would create a situation where I become further and further away from you, where I become further and further away from the people of God, Father. I pray that you'd open my eyes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I may see you and live for you and love you as I should be. Amen. Amen. I hope you look for your blind spots. Amen. That's for sure. All right. That was terrific. What a good lesson. So we're glad you joined us today, Brian, and glad you joined watching us on your TV, on your Facebook, whatever you might be doing. And it's always a joy to bring these programs into your home every week. And so we'll be back next week. Until then, God bless you and see you then.